House of Cards.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This morning, we found out that mortgage applications fell again. The Mortgage Bankers Association says the numbers are down for the second straight week. You no doubt know that foreclosures are at record levels, so high that repossessed home sales are actually helping beef up the housing market. One housing index, Radar Logic, says sales of lost homes were up by 177% last year. But the Obama administration doesn't like that scenario too much, people buying an onslaught of foreclosed homes at bargain prices. So it's negotiating with Congress a housing stimulus plan that would reduce mortgage rates and try to stem the tide of foreclosures. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch joins us now. Dan, some in Washington are calling the Obama bill a cram-down bill. Why?
Because it crams mortgages down the throats of banks that they don't want. Here's the way it usually works. You own a home and you have a mortgage and you can't pay the mortgage and the bank has all the power. They can either negotiate a new deal with you or boot you onto the street. What this does is it offers an alternative to that. It gives a bankruptcy judge for the first time the power to force the bank to renegotiate your loan with you. They can lower the amount of the loan. They can change the interest rate. They can even extend the length of the loan.
So how do banks feel about that?
The banks are not thrilled. And when this bill first hit Congress, they made a lot of noise about their concerns. A version of this bill that would have given a lot more leeway to judges was yanked last week. A new version that's much more watered down is now emerged. One of the things that it does is it puts the burden on homeowners to show that they've tried to work things out with their bank. It also gives the bank a piece of the profits if the borrower ends up selling their home.
Dan, you know, we've been talking about this bill for a long time. When is Congress going to vote on it?
Well, it looks like Congress will finally get to this as early as tomorrow when the House could have a vote. And it looks like it has a pretty good chance of passing because the banking industry basically has had their concerns met.
All right. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch joining us. Dan, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. By the way, Marketplace senior editor Patty Hirsch explains the cram down on the whiteboard inside Marketplace.org. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of a rebound in overseas markets today. Asian markets closed higher. The Hang Seng shot up 2.5%. Japan's Nikkei gained more than 0.75%. European shares are up 1-2% at this hour. The Dow, however, closed down yesterday about 0.5%. It's at 6726. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 shed under 0.5% as well. And the S&P index is below 700 at levels not seen since 1996. Well, the American auto industry continues to reel this morning from news that sales fell last month by nearly half, and the situation's not better in Europe. That has General Motors' European division looking for a bailout there. Christopher Worth reports.
GM's financial troubles are on display at the Geneva Motor Show this week. That's where the head of GM Europe said the company's burning through money to keep its European operations afloat. Now GM says 3,500 jobs could be cut in Germany if the country doesn't step up. GM wants more than $4 billion in aid from the German government. The job cuts would come at its German subsidiary, Opel. The company says the plan would be to grant Opel more autonomy, with GM as a majority stakeholder. But German Chancellor Angela Merkel isn't showing any desire to bail out the carmaker. And Germany's not the only European door GM is pounding. The company has been in talks for aid with Britain, Spain, and others with GM factories. It's estimated that up to 300,000 European jobs, from suppliers to dealers, depend on the carmaker. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work.
In about a month, world leaders will gather for the G20 summit in London. And what happens today in Washington will help set the stage. The host of that summit, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown, will address a joint session of Congress today. He's already met with President Obama about how the two countries can help spark a recovery from the fallout. Let's bring in Philip Stevens, a columnist with the Financial Times. Philip, what can the prime minister do to convince American government that this crisis extends beyond the U.S. borders?
Well, I think the core of Gordon Brown's message to the Congress today was that even though the American economy, the U.S. economy, is the biggest in the world, it can't on its own pull the world from recession. It needs markets for its exporters. It needs the banking system in other countries, not least in the UK, to be fixed.
Philip, in your column, you've laid out this idea that President Obama hasn't really been engaged in this international, the international part of this crisis. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there are two reasons. One's a fairly simple one. President Obama has yet to fully staff his administration. You know, in preparing these international meetings, you need a lot of people. The other reasons, I think, is a perfectly understandable one, that the president has decided that his immediate focus in his first weeks in office has to be on the domestic scene, on fixing the US banks, on the US stimulus package. So what Gordon Brown's saying is, yep, that's absolutely fine, but now could you please shift your focus onto the international scene? And if you like, take ownership of the London summit, show US leadership, and there'll be an advantage in you, President Obama, from that. I mean, you don't want your first appearance on the international stage to be seen as a failure.
And what do you think the British can do for the American people? What does Gordon Brown bring to Washington?
Well, I think what Gordon Brown brings to Washington is a strong alliance. There's a tradition, I think, of the British standing by the United States in wars, in peacetime, and an instinct towards the marketplace, towards capitalism, towards the organization of society that's quite shared. But I think we British probably overestimate, we like to overestimate, I think, our influence in Washington. And I think what Mr. Obama may have said to the Prime Minister yesterday is, OK, it's great to have Britain on side, but can you get the rest of Europe on side?
All right. Philip Stevens, columnist for the Financial Times. Thank you.
Thank you.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.